The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Back Page. And today we have Declan Maron.
How's it going?
Johnny Ward.
How are we?
And we have the one and only Rob Hines from The Mirror.
How are you, Bernard?
Great to see you guys. We have a big weekend. Ireland, England, the Super Bowl. But you know what? Let's get cracking with the racing, Johnny.
Yeah, we've a great weekend racing.
Eight grade ones.
Yeah, eight grade ones. And it's a quality weekend in Dublin. If you really wanted, you could go to Leopardstown, get to Lansdowne Road now, which would be fairly tricky, and then get to Croke Park. But like, I'd definitely be watching all three. I'm going to go to Croke Park and watch the rugby somewhere. I'm not really sure. I might try to leave Leopardstown.
It's on at Leopardstown.
Yeah, it's just what I heard. I know Leopardstown are trying to sell that. I'm not sure how well that'll work
crowds,
out.
You think, Johnny,
I think it will, yeah. I think it will. I think a lot of people will want to watch the game in town.
Mm. You think if there is an awful lot on this weekend in the capital,
Yeah.
And one is going to pull from the other. There's no
doubt. Like if it were Ireland and Italy or something, but it's Ireland and England. Yeah. And rugby is, I've never remember hype about rugby as there is right now. You know, and I just worry for Leopardstown in the sense of some of the horses that aren't running, the weather, and the fact that the rugby's on, because it's only the second running of the Dublin Racing Festival.
And tell me, let's see, who's going to win?
At Leopardstown.
Listeners want a few tips from the one and only Johnny Ward.
Well, I think we have a few races priced for Ladbrokes as well. I like Commander Fleet in the Nathaniel Lacey and Partners hurdle on the Saturday. I'm fairly confident this horse will run, and he's a very interesting price. He's 12 to 1 with Ladbrokes. Ladbrokes are only two places, which is a little bit of a concern, but it's still a good each way bet. I'm not 100% sure that the favourite Battle Over Doyen will run. He probably will, but it wouldn't amaze me if he didn't, in which case we have a great each way bet. A
lot of hype around Battle Over Doyen as well. Justified. Yeah.
I think probably Dick, I'm not sure about him at Cheltenham though, and in over hurdles in particular. The day at Naas he ran, he almost looked like a Gaelic football player playing soccer in a way. This is not his code. Like he was very awkward on the ground, and his hurdling was okay, but he's very, very green, raw, beautiful horse, like, for the future. So I wouldn't be amazed on that ground. They're not watering at Leopardstown. Jigginstown isn't, you know, all that happy about it. And
yeah, from what I read, there's not a hope of that happening. Clerk of the Course is talking about the potential of it freezing and stuff like that if they do go on to water it. So you can see why, but do you reckon that'll affect some of the names?
I do,
the fields are looking really, really good even at the time of recording here, but you still have a concern about quite a few of them.
I know a lot of horses that are touch and go won't run. You're not going to risk a horse with a view to Cheltenham, and whether we like it or not, Cheltenham's still the be all and end all, and they didn't get quite the amount of rain they were expecting, and like, there's been very little rain in Dublin for about 8 months now.
Yeah,
you know,
I think we've mentioned that about five times on the show at this stage. We keep harping on about it. So another thing to just touch on, I suppose, Mullins' form seemed to be back with a bit of a bang at Goran Park, and just reading quite a lot of stuff. I think Timeform had a good piece on his sort of how his runners are faring on a second run this season, and statistically they're looking very good, and there's quite a few to note coming in here, I think. So it could be an absolutely monster weekend for him, I'd imagine.
One I've just noted here, he was a huge hype of this lad before he ran at Limerick, was Animix. Now I know he's very disappointing, but I mean, could he be a each way bet here? Maybe. I think he's about 10 to 1.
Yeah, he's funny because they're debating, I think, whether to go. He's still a maiden, obviously, so they could run a maiden hurdle, or they could run him straight into the grade one. And the best of my knowledge, it's touch and go what he'll run for, but the hype about Animix, like, I've actually been told that he still could be the real deal. Yeah. That's the vibe I'm getting, which is amazing, because at Limerick he didn't look it at all. No. But as Dex said, the second run they're coming on for a lot, and a lot of the horses at Leopardstown and Limerick at Christmas just didn't run their races. So I wouldn't give up on him, and Willie has hit form, definitely. You know, like, it's been a disaster of a season for a lot of horses. They just haven't been able to get runs into them. But the ones that have run, they are coming on for it. I wouldn't give up on Animix yet, what I'm hearing.
Yeah, big time. And I think that fourth run for Mullins came after, I think he was off for 2 years or something.
Yeah, he was. Favourite for the Supreme last year, obviously, and never ran.
Yeah.
So
there's probably quite a few to list. I'll maybe just get some of the big races on the first day from you here. 125 is the Ladbrokes Dublin Chase, and at the moment in the betting it's Min versus Footpad. I'll see what way you guys are leaning on this one after I give you the betting. Min is at 11 to 10, Footpad's 13 to 8, then it's 8 to 1 about St Calvados, 9 to 1 Castle Grace Paddy, Old Simply Ned in there at 9s, and 14s are bigger the rest.
Yeah, they're gone very short on Min there. He was something like 5-2. And
yeah, I was surprised at that.
Yeah, I know Ruby Walsh has said he expects that the two of them will run. I mean, I couldn't really justify backing him at 11-10, to be honest. I think I've tipped him up before each way in the race. I knew he was going to run it, but, you know, St. Calvados obviously beat Footpad at Naas, and Simply Ned is an unbelievable conveyance around Leopardstown. There'd be better value probably opposing Min than backing him at that price, but I wouldn't bet in this race until seeing whether Footpad is running it or not. I mean, Min, if Footpad is running, is a truly horrendous price.
If I was pushing it for one of the two now, if you had to take a price, you'd be siding with Footpad then.
Yeah,
despite a pretty disastrous season,
I'm just not sure he's going to run though. I did a piece with Patrick Mullins last week, and he didn't say he wasn't going to run, and Ruby sort of implied he was going to run. But the betting to me, unless the betting is completely smoke without fire, I mean, why is Min being back so well? Footpad, I think, might have suffered. He obviously had a setback at Naas. I'm not 100% sure if he was right at Leopardstown the last, because really he should have won that day. How could he not win the way he jumped the last and the way the race ran for him?
And I think as well, like, at the start of the week, the prices went nearly the opposite way around. I think Footpad was about 5-4, and as you said, I think Min was about 5-2. I think it's worth noting the money for Min.
Just before we move on to next one to note at a big price, I thought Ordinary World, although probably well off most of them in the field here, he was much, much better. He's only about 5 lengths behind Footpad last time. He'd been trounced by the likes of Ballyushin. Even before that, he's actually reversed the form of Ballyushin since, so just wouldn't completely.
Well, you're looking for an each way angle there, Dex. Yeah. He's 25-1, right? I personally don't think Footpad's going to run because of the betting, right? And then Special Tiara, Castle Grace Paddy was fairly well beaten at Christmas. Atrophil and Dr. Phoenix have absolutely no chance in that company. So you're getting 25s on him. You're getting 5-1 and finishing the first three. I know the 5-1 to finish the first three is a good bet.
Just before we touch on the big one on the Saturday, then we'll touch briefly, I suppose, on the Arkle. The Arkle Trial, Larishberg is 11-8. Knocknanoose 3-1. Hardline 6-7-1 Void of Rev. 9s are bigger than the rest. A couple of interesting ones in here, but Larishberg 11-8 looks a little bit skinny.
I totally agree with you. He's obviously a very good horse, but when he won at Christmas, he was, what was he, about 11-4, 3-1, and that race was notable for how disappointing that Mengli Can was. I might give him one more chance. Just Gordon seemed to be happy enough to exonerate him, that his horses were a bit. Gordon's first 50 runners at Christmas, he'd only 2 winners. You know, that's incredible for his strike rate.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, now, absolutely. Some of them weren't fancied, fair enough, and they might have been running the Welsh National race like that, but geez, 2 winners from 50, and Willie wasn't really firing at the time either. Mengli Can was very disappointing. I don't think he really jumped out to his right. I don't know why he was so disappointed. I'd nearly give him another chance at those prices because, you know, his run at Leopardstown, his run at Cheltenham in the Supreme last year, when I think the ground went against him, if he is genuinely better right-handed, it was still a very good run going left-handed. And I don't think he seemed to jump right at Leopardstown at Christmas. He just didn't find anything. And prior to that, he's Chase Davey, who was absolutely brilliant. So I'd give him another chance to prices.
Robbie, I think
Knocknanoose is a really interesting run, I hear, after finishing with second to Macedonia Plumpton. Absolutely. He was made favour for the JLT, and then a day or two later, was ruled out for the season. But yeah, I think, looking at the prices, Larishberg is very skinny. If you're looking at each way, Mengli Can might be the bet, but I would say the English.
Mengli Can's not one I'd write off completely. I don't know how he'll go here, but yeah, definitely one to.
The funny thing about Gary Moore's horse is if the ground rides like it did at Down Royal the other day, like if it gets quite tacky, nothing came from behind. Like nothing. And not, he'd be completely suited by that, in that he could just get a bit of a break on them. But it's an interesting race.
We better kick on to the Irish Champion Hurdle then on the first day. We're back to talking, I suppose, about Apple's Jade and whether she goes to the Mares or the Champions Hurdle. We're now non-runner, no bet on the 4 championship races on the Ryanair at Ladbrokes, so you can go and take a price now. And I'm sure if it doesn't run, you're getting your money back there. Apple's Jade's short enough, though, 4-5 for the Mares Hurdle, and then about 6s for both the Stairs and the Champion. Still going to the Mares?
Yeah, I don't think she'll run the Champion anyway. There's a small chance she'll run in the other race.
It was said right at the start of the season, wasn't it, by Gordon, that there's a fair chance she could go there. And just with this kind of race, you wouldn't know off the back. I know she's down to 2 mile now, but
personally, I wouldn't care about winning the Mares Hurdle again if I were in their position. They've grade one winners like left, right and centre. So if I owned her, obviously I'd be delighted. But if I were Jigginstown, I'd be a bit more ambitious. My vibe from connection generally is that she does jump a bit to her right, and you can see that. And if she does that, she hasn't a prayer of winning the Champion Hurdle at Leopards. If you go to Cheltenham, they're turning nearly the whole way, and you can't jump to your right. You might get away with it over 3 miles against lesser rivals, but it's a bit of a worry for me in this race, because what she did against Faheen, I don't know, you could read too much into that. I don't think he was out of it when he fell. And if she does jump a bit to her right, 2 miles is a bit short for her. I'd be more inclined to look at Mellon at the prices, because he'll be gunned for this race.
I 100% agree with that as well. Like, this is the first time I think Apple J's run over this trip in a long, long time. And as we said, Mullins horses will come on. And Mellon was very close in the Champion Hurdle at Cheltenham last year, and I think at 9-4 is the
Super Sunday ran a good race at Christmas as well. Like, he's not out of it.
Little bit of a habit, Mellon, of sort of being the bridesmaid, isn't he?
Big time. Like, yeah.
Particularly in grade
ones. He should have won the Champion Hurdle last year, though. Faugheen dived across him at a crucial stage. And there was a lot of money for him that day. So somebody knew something that this horse was working well. I'd just be a bit worried as well, though. He did flop at Leopardstown last year in this festival.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't be having Apple Jade at the prices. Like, I just, for a 3 mile horse, if she just jumped to her right over this trip, she could be under pressure.
Mellon gets a vote for the two of you then.
Yeah, Mellon or Super Sunday couple. Like, I wouldn't be backing Apple Jade at the price.
Fair enough. We better, I suppose, kick on to the big one on the second day, and then we can touch, I suppose, on a few more if there's any more for any more after that. The Irish Gold Cup, 3:35. Road to Respect, 5-2. Album Photo, 7-2. Bells Hill in their fours. Kenboy at fives. Monolith sevens. And 12s or bigger the rest. So it looks like a cracking race. Right off the bat, was Road to Respect unlucky last time, or is Kenboy not getting the credit he deserves?
Maybe a bit of both, but Road to Respect was definitely unlucky. He did a nightmare of a trip in his last mile, and
Two trips, doesn't he? Kind of stumbled twice.
Quite bad. To get away with one of them, you might have some chance in graded race. You have no chance it happening you twice. And Kenboy had gone at that stage. I don't know if Kenboy's definitely going to run. I mean, if he is, he's probably a big enough price on the face of it.
Yeah.
Because he did beat him to 7 or 8 lengths, in fairness. So that race was very, very messy. And it had a lot to do with David Mullins kind of just deciding mid-race that Kenboy would be better off just dictating in front.
Right, to be fair.
And Road to Respect, he won the Savile Chase last year. He's my idea of a good play in the Gold Cup. I think he'll run a massive, massive race. And I think on the day, you'll get an each-way price on him at Leopardstown. I think this horse is a cracker. He loved the ground, loved going left-handed. And as I say, he should definitely have been, at the very worst, he should have been second to Christmas.
Yeah. Something to be said for Bells Hill. Ruby picked him
last
time.
He's better going the other way as well. Yeah. Okay. But again, you know, his record left versus right is a big, big difference, but he's not without a chance.
I'd be 100% on all to respect here. I think it was so unlucky at Christmas. But I mean, at the prices, Kenboy hit 5-1 looks fairly tasty as well.
As Johnny said, whether he goes.
Yeah, whether he goes, and that's the thing. But I think, look, 5-2 is a good price for Road to Respect.
Just putting you on the spot, the Gold Cup, Johnny, give us. Come on, give me your bets.
Present personally in Road to Respect the two.
That's two. No, give me one.
For Cheltenham?
No.
Road to Respect.
Okay.
Yeah, Road to Respect.
I'd be slightly leaning with Monolith, just more out of a kind of continuing.
Again,
back
he
Monolith.
Beat him the last day. Yeah, but
he looked like he was struggling against Road to Respect from the end.
Again, it was only his second run of the campaign, and Henry's horses have been an unbelievable
big price there at 7-1 as well. And just once again, for the races at Cheltenham, we're numbering no bets. So you're looking at 6-1 now, Kenboy for the Gold Cup. Monolith, I still think for the Ryanair.
6-1, Kenboy.
Yeah. Looking pretty short now.
That's short. Yeah, he should be easily
short,
double figures. Yeah.
That's very
short. Bit like Galway this weekend.
Yeah. No, Dublin.
I know.
Yeah.
And you're talking,
what are your Road to Respect?
I've got it to hand, actually. I'll have a quick look.
I think he might
be
12s.
Is he, right?
Yeah, I think he's a very fair price. But I think he'll get 3-1 on the day at the weekend, like, that he'll win.
Fair enough.
Take anything else for Sunday? Anything else?
I have.
Sticks out. Johnny.
I have a very good bet on Sunday.
You always are good for really one off the cuff that maybe
it's
people
not really
don't
off
see
the
coming.
Cuff, no. I'll give one for Dundalk as well.
Well, you gave us one cracker here from Dundalk a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Brilliant. Dundalk's been a bit hit and miss at the moment. I was tipping. I think my best tipping for Ladbrokes ever last Sunday, but conversely the previous Friday at Dundalk was like, I think I had one winner and the rest of them were flops, like, so Dundalk isn't Dundalk can really cream you because it's a Friday night, you're kind of getting jiggy for the weekend, and by three races
you're
in, you're like,
straight.
The wages are gone. You're like asking your mate for a lend. But at Dundalk in the claiming race 5:30, a horse called Carried, he's top weight.
Carried.
So he runs in colours that are familiar. They're actually not JP McManus's. They look very like them. But he's a horse that I think Prunella Dobbs' runners have just been totally out of form. But I thought the last day he ran, he didn't even get to the lead and he finished third. I thought he looked like he was coming right back. I'm guessing he'll be 4 or 5 to 1. Okay. If he gets out in front anywhere near his best, he simply will not be caught, and he's a good draw. And I have one other runner. I don't know if you have any other tips to weekend, lads.
I'm interested in the Flogus as well. I think Delta Work and the Bag of Rye is an absolutely beautiful race. Sets those two up nicely.
Hopefully both of them turn up.
Yeah, well, it looks like Warren Greatrick's definitely bringing the Bag of Rye over, and I'd be probably just leaning to him at 15-8 after a pretty good start over the fences, and he's taking some big scalps, particularly that race at Kempton last time, I thought. So pretty impressive.
I quite fancy Tiger Tap Tap to reverse the placings with Sir Eric from Christmas.
Patrick Mullins more or less gave that as his tip last week.
Yeah, and I think like that was the first run. Like Sir Eric was probably more fit from running on the flat, and I think the placings would be, and there was a lot of money for him at Christmas as well, wasn't there?
That's exactly what Patrick said. My tip is it's actually priced up. It's priced up elsewhere anyway, but I think prices on the day won't be any worse. Jeremy's Flame in the 4:40 each way. It's actually the last race of the festival. Won very, very well at Nace, and Philly Graven Cromwell seems to like a lot, and obviously we'll be taking on Santa Rosa, who's another Jeremy filly and was mighty impressive at Fairy House first time out, and the Mullins Battalion and the Elliott Battalion as well.
Lads, your knowledge of horse racing just absolutely astounds me at times. Brilliant stuff. Listen, a couple of punts in there. Get listening. You got to pick out what the guys have said, and we'll see you next week.
Sure,
brilliant stuff, lads. Absolutely super. We're moving on now to the soccer. Probably the most interesting week I've seen for a long time. I watched the matches during the week, lads. Mm. I mean, looking at City, you'd think automatically Liverpool, let's say the following night. I could not believe it. It was nearly the exact replica of what happened, they got a draw.
Didn't I say last week, City are going to be the ones that have problems in these fixtures? Now, to be fair, Liverpool looked comfortable, should have won probably, but people say nervous about Liverpool. I think Henderson probably at right back caused them a lot of problems with no cutting edge up there. But City, everyone was very, very quick to talk about Fernandinho missing and that being the problem with City. There is problems in that team. Not huge problems, but like every team, people really want to make them an invincible team already. They're not. They're the same
Pep,
as everyone.
I thought Pep on the sideline with about 10, 15. He actually, first time in a while, I've seen
given
him.
Up.
He'd given up. Johnny, just come. He nearly didn't know what to do. But if you look at this, I think this weekend is going to tell us everything. Leicester, Maguire, I thought, was superb in defence there. If you look at their playing Saturday, game. He was super. Yeah. I thought he was outstanding. Player. Back to what he was against England. But they're playing United at home, right? That's on the Saturday. And then if you look at it, on the Sunday, before Liverpool play on the Monday, Man City play Arsenal on the Sunday. But Liverpool aren't playing until the Monday night. Mm. So the pressure could be exerted if City win at home against Arsenal. Tough game. I think those three games, United because of the top four, and Chelsea are in the best position there because they should win at home. I mean, they should have an easy enough game.
After absolute battering.
I wouldn't trust Chelsea.
I wouldn't be going near, although they're up against
Why did Liverpool not just drive at home, the pressure? When they should have delivered.
What was Robertson doing for the first goal for the equaliser? Like, it was the most mindless challenge, a 2-on-1, and he needlessly not after time here, but I fancied Leicester last night. I thought Liverpool defensively they've conceded 8 goals in 4 games. Right back's a big issue. They had Milner against Palace and he was destroyed by Zaha. Milner wasn't playing. And in fairness, Milner's probably still better than Jordan Henderson right back. Mm. And like Virgil van Dijk was not right going into the game. He had to overcome a little bit of an illness, I think. There was obviously word that Lovren could be playing. Leicester have a very good record against the big teams and they're very good on the break. And they easily could have won the game, actually. Liverpool should have had a penalty of 1-1. Probably
was a penalty.
It was a penalty. In hindsight, probably should have won the game, but in fairness, they coughed up a lot of chances. I wasn't that surprised, but I was very surprised Man City didn't beat Newcastle.
It was so bizarre that two of them went ahead so early. Like, City went ahead after it was 26 seconds, and you just think, you're going to drive on, they're going to win 3 or 4-0, and then from to lose, and then Liverpool to back and draw.
Benitez was like, the job he's doing there for just not panicking and saying, listen, we're a goal down, but just stay in the game and
keep the heads.
They didn't have enough hunger to get a second goal to kill it off. And then they give away 2 horrendous goals.
Do you think the pressure's getting to Liverpool a bit? They looked a bit nervous last night. Alisson looked a bit nervous at the back. There was
one
or two
apparently
kickouts.
Were quite nervous as well. It filtered into the the crowd are getting a bit. Yeah. The closer you are to the line.
Do you know what? I wouldn't agree with that in the teams. Essentially, if you're looking at the results, reflects that City are the ones that should be a bit nervous. Yeah. 5 points, and they have losses in them. They're after losing quite a few recently. Yeah. Mm. By the looks of it, they switch the heads when they're beating teams 7-0 in the cup. They have to go back down and face a Rafa Benitez Newcastle. Just no easy job. So, again, looking at the betting for the game against Arsenal, I mean, they're 3-10. I wouldn't be taking that, I have to say. 9-2, the draw. And 8-1 about Arsenal. Now, I think Arsenal have their problems as well, right? But I thought, out of interest, I'll have a look at the handicap betting here. You can get Arsenal +2 at even money. And that, to me, is absolutely shocking. I can't believe that's the price of the moment.
I just couldn't trust Arsenal at all.
Yeah,
either,
I was looking
enough.
As well. The last few times Arsenal played, I think it was like 2-0 City, 3-0, 3-0 and 4-1 all to City. So they've had a bad recent record. Yeah. I was looking at minus one City, but like, I think plus two Arsenal at the same price.
Even money. I mean, you're not going too far wrong with that. With
they
the
will have reaction, though, won't they, you'd imagine?
You would think so.
Because they got out of jail a bit now, because the league kind of should be over, and 5 points means it isn't over, like, you know, and... you know, they have to have a reaction. I mean, De Bruyne was so poor, actually, you know, and look, Silva was quite poor. Like, some of these players are Davider. Shouldn't be.
And it's 76. Davider. 76% possession, and he just done nothing.
But their passing was actually poor. You know, for me, their passing is normally spot on. It was actually quite poor. And could just, if you go, United, right, out of all the matches that happened, and the way, okay, they should have been beaten, like 2-0 down, I think that could have been one of the most significant performances and results for Solskjaer. To come back when they were dead and buried, under Mourinho, that probably wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. So 2-all. So. When you look at it, 2 points off fourth place.
They'll definitely get top four now, because the teams around them just couldn't have any faith in them. Spurs got out of jail again.
Big time. Yeah, I wouldn't have any faith in
them. 2 weeks ago, Declan had a 2-1. They were going to get into top four.
Oh, there were double figures couple of weeks before when we said Mourinho might go. So
call it the weekend, lads. The big games. Let's go. Come on. Man City, Arsenal. You have Leicester City, Man United, and West Ham, Liverpool. Are Liverpool going to implode? I still think Man City might win it.
Yeah, it's not done. I don't think Liverpool are imploding. I just think injuries have kind of cost them a bit. They don't have a very balanced team at the moment. Their best back four in particular, like Trent Alexander-Arnold, is actually a big loss. I don't think they'll implode. I think they'll be okay, and they will win at the weekend, or on Monday rather. I'd fancy Man City to get a reaction. I think Arsenal are so bad at the back, and Arsenal are not going to camp like Newcastle did. Like, Newcastle can win games with about a quarter of the ball. Arsenal are not going to play like that, and Man City will be able to manage that game, I think. And let's be honest now, there are still two freakish goals that they gave away. Like, the Fernandinho's one was just one of them things. The other one was a kind of a ball into the box. Rondon just making a nuisance of himself. I think they'll beat Arsenal comfortably. Having said that, 3-10 isn't exactly.
What's the bet, Declan, on the two games? United, Leicester, and West Ham, Liverpool.
Well, as I said, just for City before that, we gave them the very short odds on price just to float in that our double odds offer on the first goal score. Clicked. Aguero got it in the first minute, so he would have gotten a fair old price on Aguero. He's 7-2 to get the first goal in this game. If he does it again, you're getting 7-1, which is absolutely massive. And you touched on two of the lads were disappointing, Silva and De Bruyne, and there's a good chance I would say Bernardo Silva comes in off the back of that. He's 9-1 on the first goal, so some fair betting for Leicester. Man United 13-5 Leicester, 5-2 the draw, and Man United at evens. I have to say, I'd be taking again evens Man United all day, given the sort of form they're in.
I think coming back will give them huge confidence going into this. But I mean, Leicester, as you said, really good against the big teams. Would you be leaning towards the draw, maybe?
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad. If Robbie Henshaw starts at fullback, the news is just in as well.
Right.
Good man, Johnny. Absolutely brilliant.
And then touching on West Ham, Liverpool, 15-2 West Ham, 19-5 and 4-11 for Liverpool.
Hard to back against Liverpool and also show up, but West Ham are brutal at the moment.
Exactly,
3-0 against Wolves.
Horrible against Wolves.
I think you're going to have to be looking at Liverpool -1 or something here, aren't you?
And just the betting right now, Declan, for the outright championship winners, premiership winners. Just interested in that.
It's fluctuated a lot.
It has a lot. Yeah,
you're talking 4-9 Liverpool, 13-8 about Man City, and then 33s are bigger than the rest.
Short, aren't they? They're very short.
Well, they have got a 5-point bumper, to be fair. Yeah. Like, I mean, they slip up with a draw, they're still probably in good nick. They just have to not lose games, and at the moment, they never look like losing that Leicester game. That is the one thing I'll say.
I don't know about that now. Like, Firmino's rather shot that Alisson saved. Leicester did look like scoring. Liverpool look vulnerable at the back at the moment.
Mind
without
you,
a shadow of a doubt.
The last 30 minutes was parking the bus stuff.
Leicester got tired then, but there was a 3-on-2 that Leicester had. I forget the guy on the left wing who was switched to the left wing. He didn't start in the left wing. Former Birmingham player. I can't think of
Gray.
His name. Gray, sorry. Gray did a 3-on-2, and I think Vardy made the wrong ball, actually. But Liverpool did look vulnerable to me, apart from the last 20 minutes.
We've given you a good bit there. I think that's more or less the premiership covered. Some good bets, opportunities. For me, still, Man City, I think, are just going to come. Liverpool and the Cup under pressure like the other night. It did filter down to the players a little bit. You could feel it. It was a little bit different. But we'll wait and see over the next couple of weeks. Yeah. We're just going to move on to the GAA end of it now. And Johnny, have to start with Galway and Dublin this weekend. Two teams, they're having a lot of work done. I was up in Monaghan last weekend covering the game, Monaghan-Dublin. Great game of football this time of the year. Monaghan thought were excellent, unearthed a lot of new players, young O'Hanlon in particular. But the betting on this game, there's something wrong. Dublin 1-7, Galway 5-1.
Yeah, like,
it doesn't make sense.
I know Galway aren't motoring that well at the moment necessarily yet, but I was at the corresponding game last year, and obviously Dublin had, I can't remember who, but Dublin had a player sent off. Galway lost by 4 points. Very competitive for much of the game. Dublin are coming in obviously on the back of the defeat in Monaghan. I thought it was controversial, a lot of the aspects of that game. I mean, the hurling red cards kind of hogged the headlines, but actually what happened in football was a lot more significant. Some of the stuff off the ball was disgraceful, really, including from Jack McCarron, which I thought was cruelly
unfair. He should have got a red card.
It was a disgraceful challenge. It was cowardly to kick
Where would you put Donny Smith's...
Worse again.
Indiscretion that I mean, I seen it on the TV on Saturday night. I was watching it.
There's absolutely,
and I actually could not believe my
Bernard,
eyes.
There's no place for this in any sport, because this is not hard, man. This is cowardly. Like, it's nasty.
Thuggery.
It's thuggery, and it's like I think there should be a for stuff that the video proves without doubt. There should be a right good ban to stop people doing this. That's like he should basically be banned for a few months for that sort of nonsense.
He's got one game.
Yeah, like
one game.
Like what is that saying, Bernard? Like, you know, and it's the sledging and the stuff off the ball is what really wrecks my head about Gaelic football. It doesn't go on in rugby. It doesn't go on in soccer, more or less.
Or hurling.
It hardly goes on in hurling either. And I think it's pure country thuggery, like country thuggery, or in the case of the Dubs thuggery. But I just don't see the point of it, and I think it should be stamped out, because football should be won and lost by skill and by physique and physicality and toughness, but talent and skill, not this rubbish. Like,
I actually was looking the last couple of days at the sentence, deemed a Category 3 offence, whatever, I mean, I look back to Dermot Connolly's 12 weeks that was like, for something that... They're not even in the same planet. You couldn't put them on the same planet.
Yeah.
They're two totally different. It was so far less a dangerous act.
I kind of thought Connolly deserved it, just to send out a message for referees, but you cannot come. Like, Jeremy Connolly, it was a moment of kind of a heated moment where he was frustrated after getting an awful lot of treatment from the Carlow lads during the game. This is just scandalous.
Well, I thought Keith Higgins, for me, I'd have to commend him. I thought he was magnificent the way he held his head and he just didn't let fly. I mean, it was unbelievable. I played it back a few times and he has to be commended for that. But Donny Smith is going to be a marked man now. And with social media and everything like that, and then there's a silly dive as well around the same time. There's no place for it. I believe kids watching that, it doesn't send the right message out, and one game isn't enough. But let's gonna...
I have a mate who say that doesn't really like Gaelic football, primarily for that sort of stuff being let away with. And when he sees that, he's like, what's the point?
You can see why as well. A lot of the time, I mean, we've had conversations about the rugby needing to adapt the rules and for high tackles and stuff like that. Why would you want your kid going in and being, you know, potentially battered and that being led away with? You have to crack down on stuff like that as well.
Like rugby has huge issues with regards to tackling, as you say, and physicality and that, but like, it's still a gentleman's game. And it's like, I went to a rugby game last Friday. I rarely go to a rugby game, but you know, there was no dirt, absolutely nothing. Like, the referees treated with respect. It's incredibly physical, but at the end of it, you know, you applaud your man, and there are really no enemies. There's the odd player that you'd say is a bit of a tug, like, but in Gaelic football, it's just to be able to get away with that one match ban is disgraceful.
Just on the match, Monaghan Dublin was interesting for a few reasons. I'm really looking forward to seeing Jim Gavin and Dublin's sort of
reaction.
Yeah. And there will be a bounce, but they haven't done a huge amount of work. Monaghan, actually, I thought Malachy O'Rourke was tactically brilliant with the team he selected. He finished with his best team in the field. They changed for me a little bit. They acted on their feet. They knew it was going wrong, and they on the field changed the game themselves. They put pressure on Dublin.
It's probably a case to say he's, you know, possibly the second best manager or up there. He's such a good manager, Malachy O'Rourke. Like, what Monaghan are
outstanding.
Doing. Yeah, and
outstanding.
Doing it with a bit of... In general, they're doing it within a small enough province or county, obviously. And because then, in conversely, you look at Galway and there's a lot of negativity still about Kevin Walsh and the way we're playing.
What's the handicap at Galway and Dublin? I just can't get the betting. Yeah. There's something wrong with the betting here.
It is
here.
A bit odd, isn't it? 6 points in the handicaps.
I'd go with Galway in that now. Because it's hard enough to know it'll be a cold night anyway.
Now, Galway plus six. So yeah. 5-6, Galway plus six, or Dublin minus six at 11-10.
We played them twice in Croke Park last season. We ended up being hockeyed the second time, but we still will fancy our chance of getting something against them.
Well, you're talking a bit of physicality. I think the game of the weekend will be Tyrone and Mayo up in Healy Park. Tyrone, 7 points last weekend against Kerry. Great win for Kerry. Defensively, very, very good. Peter Keane, I think it was a big game. A lot of pressure on him. Tyrone got 2 points from play for 74.5 minutes. Very, very poor. Back to the drawing board in that regard. Not being able to score enough. This is going to be very... I think this is a tight game, and maybe the betting...
It is.
Might
the betting doesn't completely
that.
Reflect that. 4-7 Tyrone, 13-2 the draw, and then 15-8 Mayo with 2 points.
4-7 Tyrone?
Yeah, 2 points down
and
in
Mayo?
The handicap. Mayo are at 15-8.
I tell you, Mayo 15 is not a bad bet on that
no,
one.
What do you no.
mean? Yeah, it'll be very hard for them to go up there and win. That's the only
it
thing.
Will, yeah.
I'd be staying out of that.
I would say one thing. The conditions last Saturday night at McHale Park were arctic. I mean, hypothermia, I think some of the players had actually after the game. It's the first time we get to see James Horne's team proper. Although, I tell you, Brian Reap, I liked him. Great goal the way he finished it. And we have to mention Young O'Hanlon from Monaghan. Maybe a couple of goal scores. Defensively, only 8 goals scored in the entire first and second division last weekend. So defensive systems at our premium. And I think Kerry showed that. If you look at it, Tyrone, for me, I think there'll be a bounce. I think they will actually come back and actually win it. And overall, we must go move on to the hurling. Shane is not here. He's got tips all wrong, Johnny. For the last, he's been hammering Tip and Liam Sheedy. I know I'm filling in from... I think Sheedy played a masterstroke over the last few weeks.
Yeah. In what regard?
Well, I think the system. Yeah. I think the way they played. And, okay, Clare were poor and sending off a Tony Kelly changed the game. Yeah. But they weren't in the game at any stage. And I was impressed with Tip.
Just their work rate suggested that they've turned a corner, you know, and this the Sheedy kind of re-revolution has started. It was very, very impressive how hard they were working. Seamus Callanan put in unbelievable yards. Captain, obviously, this year. I think I make them the team to beat in Ireland. The problem is they have to get through Munster, and you know, I was in Goran Park last week, and the Goran manager Eddie Scally said, now he's actually not from Kilkenny, but he said back Kilkenny to win the All Ireland. It was interesting because the prices they're at, because that's the problem Tip have. Any team in Munster, and I've said this before, any team could conceivably win the All Ireland, or they could conceivably finish bottom in Munster because it's that competitive. And it's absolutely insane. Like Limerick could easily not get out of the group this year. It's really, really competitive. But a great start for Tip. You know, they'll be hugely encouraged by that. And I can't wait for the year as it develops. Really, in hurling,
you're talking 11-2 for Kilkenny on the All Ireland. If that is what you're looking at there,
yeah, 11-2.
11-2.
They were talked about a lot after last Sunday now by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Again, they're very reliant on TJ Reid, who was actually in Gorn the same day. They're very, very reliant on him. But I think, just looking at Galway, they're experimenting with Cathal Mannion at midfield, and he seems to be hurling really well, and he looks like he's put on an awful lot of condition. And he's a brilliant, brilliant hurler. He's a fella I'd be thinking about as player of the year now at this stage, because he's in a completely new position. And Galway at midfield probably could do with a change. And he's if Cathal Mannion comes in, which he looks like he's going to stay in midfield, he started against Laois again the last day.
That's right.
Gifted hurler.
He's scoring well as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
gifted. He's unbelievably skillful.
How
hurler.
Poor were Cork?
Yeah,
I mean,
unbelievable. Yeah.
I mean, you expect more from the first round of the league.
It's just, I wouldn't panic yet because it's a long season ahead. But yeah, Cork were poor, without a doubt.
Just on the betting for Limerick Tip, I'll cut into you there. 10-11 for Limerick, 11-10 for Tip, and 8-1 the draw. There's 1 point in the handicap, so it should be close. And on this game, and I should have mentioned as well, on Dublin Galway, we're going to pay out double the odds on winning first goal scores. They score in the first 20 minutes, so get
so
on that.
So Limerick have Tip, and I'll tell you, after since they won the All Ireland, I think it'd be going to be a cracking game. Johnny, who do you see winning it?
I'd have to go with Tip. I think
down in Limerick.
Yeah,
in Limerick.
I wouldn't mind the Gaelic grounds at
huge
all.
Huge crowd.
Yeah, there should be a great crowd. Like, I still think Tip have far more hunger in them, or should have at this stage, than Limerick, who definitely celebrated their All-Ireland very well. I'm surprised at Cork and Wexford, how big Wexford are, actually. Wexford look like they're going to be fairly strong outsiders there. Wexford definitely weren't great at the weekend, but this is a kind of a do-or-die year for them. They hurled well for a lot of the game. I think the odds are wrong in that, to be honest.
9-4, and then 3 points in the handicap, you can get Wexford at
evens. I'd be back in Wexford at 9-4 to beat Cork.
Not even on the handicap?
Yeah, either three or, really. Points, yeah. The tip Limerick game, I'd probably make Tip very marginal favourites. I think they're marginal outsiders instead, but yeah, I mean, I wouldn't worry about the Gaelic grounds. It'd be a good Tip crowd in it as well, and they just have started off with a lot of intent. Tip, to my mind, are still the best hurling team in Ireland once they put it in.
Clare Kilkenny
on Sunday, 2 o'clock. I think that's another game, actually. We'll be doubling the odds on your one first goal scores as well, so you check that out, shops.
I was disappointed in Clare. I watched the game.
What do you make of Tony Kelly's red? Borderline.
Technically, probably. I can understand
either way.
I can understand either way. Yeah. Would you believe it? It's a bit different. It's not like your normal, that was a definite red card or this, that, and the other. I fell from But with the high head tackle, technically probably a red card, to be totally honest.
I think the biggest problem in hurling isn't really physicality. It's more just lads getting away with hand passing way too much. Like, there's a lot of very illegal hand passes under pressure. And in the summer, anyone who wasn't at Croke Park last year in the final will never appreciate the intensity that Limerick brought to that game. And to see lads like who were literally like their lives depended on it, trying to hound Galway lads out of it. And under pressure like that, hurlers will clearly make hand passes that are very, very borderline.
But the directive is you're coming down hard on refs with the head high
it
tackling
is,
and hurling.
But I wouldn't blame the ref. I wouldn't blame the ref for the Tony Kelly incident, because I think by the letter of the present law, he was probably right to do it. But I'd have sympathy for Tony Kelly at the same time. I don't think he was being malicious.
It's strange to see Kilkenny as marginal outsiders for this 6-4 with Clare at 8-13, and then again 2 points in the handicap. So I think
Kilkenny are 6-4 for this game.
Again, it's a huge bias towards home advantage in Ennis, but I'd go with Kilkenny. Kilkenny looked like there was a great photo of Brian Cody on the sideline in Nolan Park.
His eyes said everything, didn't it? Unbelievable. I'm just
buzzing for the year in hurling. I think it's going to be unbelievable. I think we should be privileged that it's our own sport.
Can I just on that point? And I'm just looking back at the weekend. I know it's only the first round of the league. Like, if what happened with Waterford and Offaly in Division 2 of football happened, I thought that was sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
27-point drubbing. I mean, the likes... forget about the lower divisions in hurling, where some teams were hammered. But if you look at... Cork didn't turn up this weekend. Really, Clare were poor. But to see Offaly 27-point, that there's something wrong.
Because Offaly started the championship quite well last year. They gave Galway a bit of a game. They gave Kilkenny a bit of a game. And that was dreadful. Their season derailed last year. Obviously, they were punished for it, then finishing where they did. It was very, very worrying.
Anyway, just Johnny, I tell you one thing. Galway 5-1, I'd be all over the weekend. I think that game could be a bit tighter.
I go off the handicap in that. It's okay. I just like when do Dublin lose in Croke Park? In fairness,
do you know what's fascinating here? To see Monaghan took SHIT off the Dubs run in every part of the field. Yes, the first 15-20 minutes Dublin were brilliant. Some of the movement 1-6-7 from play, but when Monaghan got stuck in and said, right, we're not standing back and admiring him anymore. I thought I know Dublin's fitness levels, but they actually asked a lot of questions. For me, Dublin, without Stephen Cluxton, are 4 or 5 points a worse team.
Couldn't
there's no comparison. Kilkenny, McCarthy, McCaffrey, those three, irreplaceable. Yeah. So I'm interested in seeing the reaction from Dublin this weekend.
It's the Croke Park thing as well, though. When Dublin play outside of Croke Park, they don't look anywhere near as invincible.
Correct.
You know, you even saw it in Tyrone last year. 23 they won
points.
The game is sort of in the melting pot. You see when they travel, and I think, you know, it would be great for the championship if they travelled a bit more. They just know Croke Park and its confines very well. They obviously have that raucous home support as well there. But no, definitely Cluxton is the most important. You could argue the most important player in Gaelic football really at the moment, and has been for years.
The greatest leader I've ever seen in my time. I'm 54 this year, and I can tell you now, I have met a person like him. You can say what you like.
Just driven.
Some great bets, and I think there's some very interesting GA bets this weekend. That's where there could be a bit of value for money. Before we get into the big news, the Irish rugby team, let's go to the Super Bowl. I said it a few weeks ago, I thought the Patriots would win. I'm surprised, Declan, they're actually coming
the
in. They're so short.
Any bigger, like,
It's massive. We forgot about it. And you're talking about all around Dublin this weekend, there's going to be Super Bowl parties. But the Patriots, I think, 8-11.
They've cropped onto our line, I think, in Bernard.
I think
it's just going to happen. There's no fighting it at this stage. 8-11 for Tom Brady to do it again. And the LA Rams are 23-20. That's on the money line. And then on the spread, 2.5 points.
Will you watch it, Johnny? Will you be able to, after your weekend, your Friday, Saturday, will you be able to stay up?
Depends on who's motoring along.
Well, funny enough, I'm flat out at Leopardstown the 2 days, so the Sunday is a worry, because if I had my way on Saturday, what I would do is I go to Leopardstown. I'd watch the rugby in the pub. I'd then go to Croke Park into the premium and have a few pints. And then there's a gig in town I want to go to. But then how am I going to be actually... I'm not able for this anymore. So how am I going to be able to do it all over again on Sunday? And then stay on to do the Super Bowl. But on Monday, I'm going off to New York on Tuesday. So on Monday, I don't really care how I am.
Self-denial is
rock and roll lifestyle.
I know you can do it.
I'm just denying the fact that I can do it.
Which one is likely to miss the cut down at the moment, the Super Bowl?
I think the Super Bowl will be okay, because whatever way I am on Sunday, I can get through it. But I'm worried about working at Leopardstown on Sunday if I'm banjoed, basically.
The Rams are 23-20. It's still tight enough. That you know, okay, the best offense, if you like. I mean, the Patriots, you see what they did against Kansas. I mean, the start they got in the game, 14-0, that was a big difference. For me, if the Patriots don't get a good start, I think that Rams have a real chance. And that means... Brady, did you see this week? Was anyone watching some of the shows going on during the week and that, and where they try to call him a cheat? And I mean, there's somebody from LA Rams is in behind all of that end of it. And to put it up, a guy got sacked for it from the, I think, the station that actually was responsible. So there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. It just doesn't happen in politics.
No.
It's happening in the Super Bowl behind the scenes as well.
I want to hear what your bet is, because if I'm watching this, I want to have a bet in it, basically.
I was thinking along the lines of any time touchdown score, because... There's just some backable markets. Julian Edelman's in there at 5-4. It's relatively short. You've got Gronkowski in at 9-5. I'm going
to
be sticking to score. The Patriots. Yeah, anytime.
He's a big game
anytime.
Player. Big game player.
That's it. 9-5, anytime player. Looks reasonable enough to me now, I must say.
Can you imagine the great All-American Shane Stapleton's face if Brady lifts the Super Bowl again?
I want to mention...
He won't come back.
It won't just be Shane. It'll be a huge chunk.
I want to mention briefly the aforementioned hardcore Tipperary hurling native who was playing a game of indoor soccer with us on Monday, and like as you do in goal, he actually saved the ball with his hands, and he was like lashing his hand around in the air as if he'd broken his thumb or something. I was like, you're playing indoors, a soft little soccer ball, and you put the ball out for a corner and you made a save, and this lad is supposed to be a hurler. Unbelievable stuff. He went down an awful lot, and Kevin Kilbane couldn't stop talking about how much of a softy
he was.
He's an absolute softy.
We say a woman's blouse.
Hope all is well, Shane.
Okay, Shane. We're thinking of you. So where's the value in the Super Bowl? It's not in the outright betting. Is there a bit of a Gronkowski?
Gronkowski for me, 9-5 anytime. Like there's a couple of markets where you'll find some bigger prices now. The likes of spread, total, and points double. You've got LA Rams plus 0.5 and over 61.5 points at 9-2. I'd be thinking the opposite of that, 21-10 under 61.5.
I'd be
points,
thinking of that one,
to be honest. In terms of winning margin, you probably get some value there. How much, Bernard, off the top of your head, do you reckon the Patriots will do it by?
I genuinely think it'd be tight enough. They've won and lost. I just think Brady and the start, they'll go for the start, but their patience is just on a different level. I mean, what they did to Kansas in Kansas should never really have happened. It shouldn't. And Kansas should have known better. Slow start, which shouldn't have happened. I just think, I like the Rams coach, Tom McVay. He's actually super. He's young. The rapport he has with his players. They have a chance. They're not 23-20 for nothing. To me, the Patriots. But I'll tell you, one of my bets is going to be Gronkowski at 9-5.
Anytime.
Unless, Johnny, move on. The big news is that fullback for Ireland.
Yeah, Henshaw's Robbie. Going to start. So, poor old, I noticed at the game, obviously, on Friday that Rob Kearney was nowhere near his best. But I'm still a bit surprised that... I know he hasn't played much rugby, but...
It's a very important player. He'd be good to miss out on that.
Yeah, and like this is closer to me than the bookies suggest. For all I don't know much about rugby, but 3-1 on against England.
That's unbelievable.
England could easily have beaten New Zealand a week before we did. Like, and that's I'm going on that flimsy line, but like I still don't think that the Six Nations is a bit of a means to an end for us this year with the World Cup coming. I definitely believe that. I don't think anyone will be all that disappointed if we don't win the Six Nations but have a very good campaign otherwise.
Just to touch on the outright betting then, odds on Ireland for it, 4-5 looks a bit short to me. 4-1 England, Wales are 9-2.
I'd be tipping Scotland. Wales,
It seems to be a lot of love about Wales.
Just because they're playing us at home.
And also they're the value, really, if you're looking at the betting at the moment. Wales for the Triple Crown is 6-1, which is an absolutely cracking bet, I think, personally. But I do think they don't have the same depth that a lot of other teams do, and it's well noted at this point.
I think Scotland is going to spike somebody. Scotland are actually doing a lot of work, really good work.
Well, we might be playing Carberry in that game as well, potentially. Correct. You know, so you might. And if we go into games changing our out half, it's almost like putting down the opposition a bit. So definitely Schmidt is going to use this to experiment a bit with, because the point was made. I was talking to a few guys last night about this. When we got to the World Cup last time, Madigan wasn't prepared enough to play out half. That's why basically I think Carberry has no hope of ever. Like Carberry would probably be our best fullback if we actually wanted to play him there. But Carberry's the out half that's been groomed to be his successor, you know, but also Johnny Sexton's number two when needs be.
But is Murray's not quite the player he's not, but if you look at England, I think Jones, and there's no doubt in my mind, if you look at, they're talking about the bulk, that the back row, and
the brawn they're going to bring.
Sexton is the one they're going to nail nail him early on if they can. Our kicking game is far superior to theirs. Owen Farrell, I think this is much closer. No one gives them a chance.
Did you like Eddie Jones' comments? It's well documented that no one thinks we have a chance. Well documented.
Also, their forwards coach saying they're going to bore the shite out of us.
Did you see that bore the shite?
I actually thought it was very funny, now, to be fair.
But they're winding us up.
You know, the mind games. And then he also said a load of lovely things as well about Ireland. But yeah. This is going to be great stuff.
It's going to be a cracker. Just running down the table there for this. I mean, as I said, 4-5 Ireland. They're no doubt the strongest and most informed team. England still have a lot of problems. Wales 9-2. The reason Wales are getting a lot of love is because they're very backable, as I said, in various markets at the moment. But they are sort of low on sort of depth in
What's
their team.
The handicap for the weekend with England and I'm just interested in handicaps. Ireland and England.
1-4 on the betting for Ireland at the moment. 3-1 England.
What?
Yeah, 1-4, and you're talking about
3-1 is a top price England.
8-1 in the handicap. So Ireland minus, or apologies, 8 points I should say in the handicap. So Ireland minus 8 at evens, England plus 8 at evens.
Like, Sexton's coming in as well off a slight break. We've a new fullback who's played once for Ireland fullback. We're playing an England team.
He is a natural fullback though.
They say he's natural. Fair enough.
And it is a way of fitting your best players in when you've got Bundy, Yaki, and Guy Ringrose in there already.
But like, England are going to be so pumped up for this. Like 3-1 outsiders in playing against Ireland. I don't know if we've ever been as short as that in my lifetime against England. Maybe we have.
The odd time when we've been raving hot favours, we have sort of
hit the panic button. We've actually started Six Nations quite sluggishly as well.
The last
game
is a great example of that last year. You can say all that. I still think Ireland win this game at home, and they will be pumped. They will be ready for it. I'd say England have more problems at the moment. Ireland to win between 1-5 points. There's going to be a kick in it, I reckon. It's going to be very close. 9-2 for Ireland, 1-5. Or you can have 9-5, bet Ireland 1-10. That's where I'd be looking. Again, another offer for the Six Nations. It'll last the entire tournament. We're going to double odds on winning first try scores. If your player goes on to get another try, that's all games in the tournament.
That's a good offer. I'd go with 9-5, 1-10, but I'd nearly have a saver on England winning at threes.
Okay. Go ahead, Ecky.
Just last thing before we touch on it. France versus Wales is an absolutely fascinating one.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, that should be an absolute
what
beaut.
What else is on this weekend?
Just Johnny to get your schedule update. Money for France, even money for Wales, and 18-1. Get on the even money for Wales. France, a lot of people talk about France. We don't know what team turns up. That's a moot point at this stage. We do know what team turns up. They're massively in transition. They're losing the likes of Bastereau, these big, gigantic units, to get in some handy players. It's a transition for them at the moment, and Wales are in a great position. Gatland's last Six Nations, of course. He says if they win this, they reckon they can win the tournament.
That's enormous home advantage bias again. Like France have probably never been as big a prize to win this tournament. Mm. In my lifetime, anyway, the last I saw, they were rank outsiders apart from Italy. They were like 16-20-1. Wales are as you say, 9-2, Dick. Mm. And they have to be winning this if they're going to win the bloody competition. Like, France are in a bad way.
One last boost just to give you. It might be, well, get on it quick. It might be gone by the time you're listening to this, because the traders have put it up for a little while. Limited time boost. Jacob Stockdale, tournament top scorer, 7-2 out to 6-1. So 6-1 for Stockdale, tournament top scorer.
Okay, lads. Come on, starting with you, Johnny. Give me a few, your bankers for the weekend. I'll leave Declan, you're next, then me.
In the racing, I would back Commander of Fleet each way on Saturday, and on
Kerry. Are you going to go for the Kerry Dundalk? Yes, no.
Yeah, so we go. I'll go an each way treble in the horses Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Starting off with Carried at Dundalk in the middle leg, then we have Commander of Fleet in the Nathaniel and Lacey at Leopardstown, and Jeremy's Flame the last leg in the finale at Leopardstown. And in sport, I think Wexford are value, to be honest. I think they're big value to beat Cork.
Monalee for me, it's more my heart going with that, to be honest, but I'm going to stick with Monalee right throughout the year. Ireland 1-5 at 9-2, and as I said, get on that Stockdale boost while it lasts, really. 6-1.
Brilliant. I'm going to go have a little bit of England plus 8 evens. England plus 8 evens, I think, is a good bet.
Yeah.
If you look at it, I think Arsenal plus 2 at evens.
Yeah,
honestly, I think that's another good bet.
I wouldn't be confident about that at all. Okay. I just think they could capitulate. They're like, look at them against Man United. Look at them against Liverpool. They're conceding.
We beg to differ, Johnny.
But they're just defensively. They're shambles offensively.
And lastly, Bernard.
Patriots. Yeah, Patriots are going to win 8-11. Not that inviting. But
you
I think
give your best bet in the Super Bowl. That'd be better.
I'm going to give you
that.
This one: 6-4, Kilkenny.
Yeah,
I think it's massive.
Yeah.
Last weekend, I told you about Monaghan beating Dublin. That's my banker of the weekend.
What price for Monaghan?
Monaghan last weekend were
3-1,
11-4 at one stage.
Nice.
Yeah, which was great. 3-1 in some places. But listen, last but least, Galway at 5-1.
I counter that by saying to back them in the handicap, but
plus 6.
You're a lot more of a reward if they win.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give you a little bit, listeners. Have a go. Hope we give you something to listen to.
We sound
lads.
Alarmingly bullish about a lot of these suggestions.
And there's three or four
we
there.
We haven't had a pint yet.
Enjoy the packed weekend. See if you can get through it the way Johnny will.
Thanks a million,
and,
lads.
And thanks to our producer, Johnny, Rachel, for actually providing us with no heating whatsoever here today. And she's wearing a coat.
I am frozen. And she's like an Eskimo outside there. So, Johnny, I hope you make it through the weekend. And I'll be in one piece next Thursday.
Happy days.
Cheers, guys. Cheers. Thank you for listening.
The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.